Okay, Jill's going to bring Psalm 131 and Matthew 6 to us from the comfort of their front room, and we are going to then enjoy some time with Kath unpacking those passages for us. Thanks, Jill.
Good morning, everybody. As Phil said, our reading is in two parts. Firstly, it's Psalm 131. And it goes like this. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. And the second reading can be found in the New Testament, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, starting at verse 9. And Jesus is continuing his talk, his teaching on prayer. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, thank you, Jill, for reading. That's so well. And yeah, great. We're going in this new-ish series about the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray and then we'll think together about the first phrase. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. In the Bible, we thank you for Jesus, your living word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit here with us today. And we ask that you would continue speaking to us. Open our ears and our eyes and our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we started this series last week and David did a brilliant introduction. I had a listen online. So if you didn't hear it last week, do take a listen to that about prayer. And one of the things he was talking about is why we pray. And this cartoon is one of my favourites as to why we might pray. You've probably seen it on a card. Penelope was the great believer in the power of prayer. And she gets chocolate. I'm ever hopeful that happened. Doesn't seem to happen to me very often. The next cartoon maybe is more like my prayer life. Dear God, my prayer for this coming year is a fat bank account and a thin body, but please don't mix them up like you did last year. Quite like that one. And maybe for all of us, prayer is something we struggle with. Certainly for me, I have to say, I don't stand here as someone who finds prayer easy. And fascinatingly, I'd recommend this little book if you want to get into the Lord's Prayer a bit. Tom Wright, The Lord and His Prayer, and it is little and short. And he says at the beginning a funny thing about how everyone talks about struggling with prayer, you know, even clerics, even people who live in monasteries, and it seems to be the thing that we do struggle with, and yet it is vital to our Christian life. And Jesus has left us with this amazing prayer, the Lord's Prayer. So the next slide just says that we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And you might think, why are we doing this? Why are we going through this slowly? Why are we looking at this? Why do we pray every week? Have you ever thought that? When we, oh, not maybe every week, often. Martin Luther said this about it. To this day, I am still nursing myself on the Lord's Prayer like a child, and am still eating and drinking of it like an old man without getting bored of it. So I think if Martin Luther says that, that's one thing. But most importantly, it's Jesus's prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus gave when his disciples in Luke said, teach us to pray. This is what this is what he said. And he was living in this world of injustice, hunger, malice, evil, trials and difficulties. And we today are living in a world of injustice, war, famine, suffering and difficulties. And Tom Wright says, this prayer cries out for justice, for bread, for forgiveness, for deliverance. If anyone thinks these are irrelevant, let them read the newspaper and think again. This prayer is incredibly relevant. And when the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray in Luke, they say, just as John taught his disciples. And that was because the rabbis would all have a kind of prayer, and it was like their creed, basically. It was like their statement of faith. Rabbis would have this creedal prayer. And so actually, in some ways, it's more than just a prayer, because it's saying what is really foundational to faith, what is Jesus saying are the most important things. And it forms us as we pray as well. It's a foundation and it forms us as we pray it deeply, not just in the surface, and deeply grapple with it. There's something so profound about it. Tom Wright says, this prayer then serves as a lens through which we see Jesus himself and discover something of what he was about. His own breath, his own life, his own prayer. It's all about the kingdom of God, the kingdom that brings hope. When we look at the chaos around us, we know that this is not it. And this reminds us, that song, In the Darkness, I always remember Rachel preaching a sermon online on Zoom and using that song and that reminder that even in the darkness, God's waiting. He's waiting. And this prayer reminds us that God is living and active and wanting to meet with us and our world, as we've already seen this morning and heard about. So what we are going to do, a little challenge, actually. I'm going to get some cards ready. Haven't quite done it yet. They'll be here for next week, but I will send it out online. So three ways, perhaps, of thinking of praying the Lord's Prayer. So it's on the next slide. The first one is suggestion of setting your alarm for midday. This comes from 24/7. They had a brilliant idea, I thought, and pray it every day, midday. And you might think it's a bit annoying when that alarm goes off or when you think about it, but maybe it will just bring you back to God, to his kingdom. The second way of doing it is taking the prayer like a map. So each heading you might take, one each week, or you might want to take one each day, or even all of them, and you take them as a map for your prayers. So you start off by praise, you start off, then you go to looking around you, and then you pray for one another, and then we end up with confession, and then we go out with hope and glory. So there's lots you can use it as a map. And then the third way you might want to try is just praying it very mindfully. I like this one because the man looks like he's asleep at his desk. So I'm kind of going to try this one, I reckon. Just pause slowly and breathe deeply. Maybe when you're in the car at a traffic jam waiting at those lights, you could pray this prayer for the new estate, couldn't you? Let's be praying it. Don't close your eyes in the car. I knew you were going to say that. Phil had his hand up. Phil, he's still awake, which is good, yes. Oh, musically, I'm liking that. Very good. Yes. Oh, fantastic. I'm glad we haven't made the card yet, because we can add musically onto it. That's a great idea. Musically is brilliant. Any other ideas how we can do the Lord's Prayer and encourage each other in it? Doesn't have to begin with M. Anyway, you can be thinking about that. But let's, anyway. It's a little challenge for while we're in this series. Let's try different ways of praying and see what God does, how God shapes us as his people. Right, that's actually not my talk. This is now my talk. I know you're worried now. So that was just a little introduction to the Lord's Prayer. Today we're thinking about Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. The first thing that struck me was that it's our Father, isn't it? Ours. It's not my Father. It's not your Father. He doesn't say my Father in Heaven. Jesus could have said that, interestingly, couldn't he? Because he was. But he says ours. In our world, we've become, I think in our society, actually Western society, very individualistic, haven't we? And since the Enlightenment, become very me in my small corner and you in yours, as one well-known song goes from a few years ago. And but even in COVID-19, I think, and the pandemic has made us even more insular in lots of ways. Although we talk about community, actually it was interesting, went to a morning yesterday about how we reach out to the new communities, and a vicar who's been in Didcot and Great Western Park planting a church there, and he's great. He's great. He trained at the same time as Phil and I. That's not why he's great. I was thinking, why do I need to say that? But anyway, he was saying that, interestingly, the people they visit, very often their community consists of their front room. There it is, their partner, maybe a child, and their screens, whatever that might be. That is very many people's community today. And for us, that's very different because we have a church community. We're often a part of Scouts or we're part of sailing. I'm looking at Ben. We can have school communities. But for some people, lots of people, their community is very small, isn't it? And that's the work of Archway, which Andy's supporting, is so much about meeting out those needs of people who are extremely lonely in our society. And Jesus reminds us right at the beginning of this prayer that God is our Father, not just for me, not just for you, for everyone out there in the world. He's our Father, ours, everybody's. And this idea of God being Father was there in the Old Testament. Some people think this was a new concept, but actually God saw Israel. Israel was his child, and he talks about them. And at the time of the Exodus, Israel is my firstborn son. So for Israel to call God Father, they hold on to this hope of liberty. It reminds them that they're not slaves. And as Jesus uses this, our Father, he's saying we're not slaves. We're not slaves anymore. We can call God Father. We're his children. And it's an intimate word, isn't it? Abba, as you know, means daddy. And it was a close word. It was a word about love. And it's a really fascinating, the more we think about this, that this is God is for everyone. God is not just for the white, for the middle class, for those we know and like. God is our Father for everyone. I love that song, Come All You Vagabonds. And I always think of it as the Long Furlong song because we heard it when we first come here, that everybody is welcome. We remember God doesn't belong to any of us. God is our Father. And there's a sense that Jesus is, it's remembering that Jesus is talking and that Jesus is in this relationship, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And somehow we're invited into that Trinity, into that relationship, which is an amazing thought to get your head round, isn't it? He's not saying God's not just my Father, but he's for you, for all of us as well. We're all invited into that, however we feel about ourselves and about what we've done or not done. Here's Jesus saying, you can pray to our Father. Stephen Croft did a whole load of reflections on the Lord's Prayer, and he writes this. To say the first line of the Lord's Prayer is to step into the dance of love. Isn't that a great picture? When you've got your music on, maybe listening to the music of the Lord's Prayer, you can think about that, stepping into the dance of love, become part of the rhythm of eternal communion, the communion of heaven. And we become part of this not because of our own goodness or cleverness or skill. Jesus' prayer makes this very clear. We're here and we can say our Father because God has called us and revealed these things to us through Jesus' Son. We say the Lord's Prayer by invitation, not by right. It's the prayer of grace shared with us by the Son of God. So isn't that amazing? The prayer of grace. How are you feeling today? We're invited to say our Father. And then that's interesting, this term Father, isn't it? This term Abba, Daddy. And that he uses this. He doesn't use Lord at this point, although that is obviously what God's called to. He uses this term, Father, Abba. And maybe we have a bit of a trouble in our minds with that. I remember when I was, I think it's possibly the, is it the next slide? I'm not sure. Oh, yes, I know. This is the, it is the next slide. Thank you. Because we might kind of feel, what does that mean to us? This painting by Rembrandt, The Return of the Prodigal Son, trying to show a picture of God embracing us. And we'll all have different pictures and feelings about that word Father, won't we? I remember praying, taking communion to an older lady in Ensham when I was a curate. And it was always great fun because we would do a little bit and then we'd have a little bit of a chat and then we'd do the next bit of the service, then we'd have a bit of a chat, and then finally we'd get to have communion. But one day we were talking about this whole thing, and she said, I can't possibly think of God as Father because I was so scared of my father. I could not have called him Daddy. I could not have done that. And she said, I was just frightened of him, and he was that old Victorian father. And we talked around that God is actually not like any human father, and actually God is also like a mother. Oh, sorry, Ben, if we just go back a little bit, because I just was going to point out the amazing painting, you can't see it so clearly on here, that Rembrandt paints the father figure with two different hands. You may know this. One that looks like a man's hand and one that looks like a woman's hand. And he has this sense of God being both father and mother. And it's something maybe we don't talk about or think about, that in this word, in this closeness, that Jesus isn't saying God's a man like your father. He's saying he's the lover. He's longing to embrace you. And Henri Nouwen, writing about this painting, says, "The father is not simply a great patriarch. He's a mother as well as father. He holds, she caresses. He confirms, she consoles. God, in whom both manhood and womanhood, fatherhood and motherhood are fully present, gently caressing. Remind me of the words of the prophet Isaiah. Can a woman forget the baby at her breast? Even if I were to forget you, can a woman forget her baby at the breast? Even if these were to forget you, I shall not forget you. Look, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands." That is how God feels about us, this passionate, unfailing love that goes beyond any sort of human love we've experienced. It's so hard for us to picture that. But Jesus, at the beginning of his prayer, is saying we can come close because God is waiting with his arms open. Right. Thanks, Ben. It is the next slide. That's why we read Psalm 131 as well. This sense of God being both mother and father, embracing us, welcoming us. David says, "I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother." Jesus says he expresses this maternal love when he weeps over Jerusalem and says, "How long have I longed to gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." And some of us, we find it hard to think we can be loved. We know, I know what I'm like inside, and I want to go like this sometimes to God. And yet Jesus is encouraging us, drawing us into God's love, each and every one of us, by saying, "Our Father." That's how we begin in prayer. Just sitting like that child, snuggled in, knowing the love of God, bringing everything, all our rubbish, all the questions, all our tiredness, all our fears, all our doubts, "Our Father." I was thinking, thank you, David, for quoting from Mr. God, This Is Anna, because that was one of my mum's favourite books. If you've never read it, it's a fabulous book about the little girl and the way she talks to God. And it made me think about a bit about my mum, and I started to just think back on her life, because she had a very tough life in lots of ways. Her dad actually died when she was a baby, so she never knew her earthly father. And she had a big family in the East End of London. She was evacuated when she was 5 to Wales, lived in Wales for 5 years, came back. She said she felt more Welsh than English to live back in the East End of London. But she grew up, went to work at 14, met my dad. She said my dad saved her because she was all up and down like this. She was a real people person, amazing, and went off to Nigeria. In Nigeria, she met some people who knew and loved Jesus, and for the first time kind of found out about God's love. And some years later, when they moved back to Essex, which is where I grew up, she gave her life to Jesus. And she said it wasn't easy since then, but there was something about the incredible love of God. And some years later, she went on a healing kind of retreat, and they prayed for her. And she had the person praying for her didn't know anything about her, but had a picture of her crawling around as a baby looking for her dad. Isn't that interesting? That sense of loss that even as a child, and prayed into that, and prayed that God would be there for her as father, as mother, as friend. And for all of us, we have these gaps in our heart, don't we? Well, we need God's love to fill, because no person can do that. And I've been reading through some of her notebooks. She was a great writer down of things, and crying quite a lot, because she had cancer for about 10 years. So she writes an interesting journey about suffering as well as love. But she writes this quote from Henri Nouwen. My mum wrote it's Henri Nouwen's, but she's put it in the notebook. She said, "It is true that there is an ebb and flow, but the sea remains the sea. Although I experience many ups and downs in my emotions and often feel great shifts and changes in my inner life, you, Lord, remain the same. Your sameness is the sameness of a faithful lover. Out of your love I came to life. By your love I am sustained. And to your love I'm always called back. My only real temptation is to doubt your love, to think myself as beyond the reach of your love, to remove myself from the healing radiance of your love. Isn't that a beautiful quote? The sea reminds us of God's love. Our Father, that's for all of us. All of us, our Father, amazing God's love. Right, hallowed be your name. Next part, shorter, you'll be glad to know. Hallowed be your name. Not only God is our Father, God is an awesome God, a holy God. So we hallow. There's this sense of awe and wonder, honour, that we want to give to God's name. I was wondering if you could think of what names there are for God, to see if you're still awake. You can put them in on Zoom if you want. Any names from God, of God in the Bible? Any names of God? Prince of Peace, fantastic. Jehovah, brilliant, Jehovah. Yahweh, fantastic. Yahweh, mighty. When I came across what you're thinking this week, I was thinking about Elroy, the God who sees. Interesting. We had one in Haggai. Can you remember back to Haggai? Is this in your name? What's the Lord called there? The Lord of the heavenly armies. Do you remember that? That he's Lord, the creator. Any others? Any on Zoom? I am giving them a little bit of time. No, that's all right. Were you Adonai? What about when Moses had to take his feet? Deliverer, thank you, Ben. Deliverer, fantastic. And I am. Do you remember when God said, I am? These are God's names. There's lots and lots more. And in the Lord's Prayer, reminded to lift up the name of God. All these things. The Lord is. The Lord is peace. The Lord is the deliverer. The Lord is the creator. And when we pray that, we're acknowledging that God is God, and we're not, which I'm always very thankful about. And it's coming back to letting go. I kind of think sometimes I imagine, snuggling into the Lord in the first bit of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, and then just letting go. Hallowed be your name. It's like Becca was preaching about a couple of weeks ago. We need to surrender and allow God to be God and acknowledge that we're not. And what does that mean? And praying for God's name to be honoured. God's name that means justice and freedom and light and hope. And again, Stephen Cross says, so often in this world we feel powerless to change anything about ourselves or the world around us. But as we pray, hallowed be your name, we find our hope and courage again. The world is not meant to be like this. So in God's name, in the name of Jesus Christ, there is power for the change we long to see. And it challenges us. It challenges us too to be part of that change. It's not just about handing it back to God and saying it's all over to you. It's about saying, okay, Lord, hallowed be your name. What does that mean in my own life? How am I going to live that out? As we pray for Andy, bringing that as the mayor. But we all have a calling from the youngest to the oldest. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. God is always calling us on to bring honour to his name, not just here, but throughout the world. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And let us draw us together so we can have some time to pray and to listen. God is our Father. We're all invited into this eternal dance of the Trinity. We're all invited in by God's motherly, fatherly love. God is not sitting up there looking down like this image we often have as an old man maybe on the clouds. He's waiting like that Father with opened arms. And we hallowed be your name. We pray to an awesome God that his name will be honoured, that he may be worshipped by the whole creation, that the whole cosmos will resound with God's praise, that the whole world will be freed from injustice, disfigurement, sin and death. This is why we're spending a bit of time in the Lord's Prayer. Let's allow God to form and shape us through this amazing prayer. just finish with a little story and a little quote. The story was a couple of weeks ago, I went to visit someone from Northcote Road and her elderly mother who has dementia in a home. And it was a fantastic time. We had a great visit and we had a bit of a sing and a chat and heard about lots of stories. Some of them were real, some of them weren't. But at the end, we prayed together the Lord's Prayer. And she completely remembered all the words of that. And isn't that fascinating how it's often music and these deep prayers that at the end of life people still have. And as we were praying, it was very beautiful. We were all praying, we were sat round, and as we were praying, she got our hands and she just put them all together like this, so that we were all part of the three of us, part of this prayer. And it was very beautiful. And afterwards, her daughter said it was like she was being our mother. There was a bit of her that wanted us to all belong and be found in that prayer. And it gave to me a picture of what God wants for us as we pray this prayer together. This is for all of us and for our world. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.